Let's turn our Bibles to Exodus, please. Exodus in chapter 35. I'm going to say kind of something around this theme of membership has its responsibilities. Exodus chapter 35. Exodus 35, starting in verse number 30. Membership has its responsibilities. And for those of us who are participating actively in the church, I hope this will be an encouragement. For those of us that aren't, I hope it will be a challenge. The Lord does reward the works of His people. Salvation is apart from works, but salvation yields works, and those good works are remunerated, that is, rewarded by God in heaven with rewards that will last for eternity and not just for time. And so we want to be about God's work as He's called us in our context to do. Exodus 35:30. And Moses said to the children of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah, and He has filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, and cutting jewels for setting and carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. And He has put in his heart the ability to teach, in him and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to do all manner of work, of the engraver and the designer and the tapestry maker in blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine linen, and of the weaver, those who do every work and those who design artistic works. Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding to know how to do the manner of the work for the service of the sanctuary." Let me pause. We're talking about the construction of the tabernacle now, according to the plan that God gave Moses in earlier chapters. For the work of the service of the sanctuary, to do according to all that the Lord had commanded. Then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing. And they spoke to Moses, saying, "The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do." So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, "Let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary." And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work that was to be done, indeed, too much. Now, my focus isn't just on that too much idea or the giving, but what I want to say from this is that we believe that every believer should have an active role in the ministry of the local church as we seek to glorify God by carrying out the Great Commission and exhibiting the Great Commandment. That's a kind of a mission statement, if you will. We seek to glorify God by carrying out the Great Commission and exhibiting the Great Commandment. What is the Great Commandment? To love God with all of our hearts, souls, and minds, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. The Great Commission, of course, is to make disciples, to baptize them and teach them all things that the Lord has commanded us to keep and to observe. And so I wanted to use this passage as a paradigm for our meditation on this matter. Here in Exodus, we see three groups of people. We see Bezalel and Aholiab, who were gifted artisans. They could do all kinds of work for the construction of the tabernacle and its furniture. And also, this is interesting, they were teachers, at least the one. He was not only able to do, but he was able to teach and to instruct and, I think, to guide and lead people to carry out the work. And then there were other skilled workers who followed the instruction of the master teachers and the master artisans here who came and did the work. It was not just two men who did all the work that was necessary to put this tabernacle together, but a whole bunch of other skilled laborers to do the work, not necessarily able to teach, but able to do. And then you had the whole population of the nation of Israel also involved, who made an offering for the work of the tabernacle and its furniture. And as we saw, they gave so much that they had to be commanded to stop giving. which is always a wonderful thought to me. Look, it's too much. The accountant can't keep track of it all, so stop, please. So you have three groups. You have the kind of at the top of the gifted list, the Bezalel and Aholiab. Then you have the skilled artisans. Then you have all of the people of Israel. And this, to me, shows that God puts different people into different places of service. He does this according to His own sovereign will. He's in charge, after all. But nobody is left out of supporting the work of the Lord, not in building the tabernacle, nor in building the church. And I'm convinced that this is true in the church also. I think it's especially so because of the teaching in the New Testament on the giftedness of believers. By the Holy Spirit, each one has received abilities from the Spirit according to the will of God. That's the explicit teaching of 1 Corinthians 12:11. The Spirit has distributed to each one according as He wills a diversity of gifts, and He's manifested His presence in many different ways. But what this means that we as members of the church, of Fellowship Bible Church in particular, need to be involved in some ministry in the church. It's not an option for us. Otherwise, the church will be weaker, you will be weaker, and you will not grow, and nor will the church grow as you should. Now, to kind of outline three groups in the church, let me just draw some parallels from what we just looked at in Exodus. We had three groups there. I think we can say there are three groups here also in the church. Number one, first group in the church, and really it has to do with I've centered it around kind of activities or ministries. There are some ministries or some things that virtually every believer can do. I put the word virtually in there because you understand there are people who are shut in and legitimately unable to do certain things. But virtually every believer can do some ministries in the church. For instance, the giving of finances is a ministry. It's not a special giftedness. It's just regular, everyday Christianity. Every believer has this as a baseline expectation. You don't get graded. This is just basic stuff. It's just included as part of the package. Even the widow's mite counts. Now, I don't know if you might not have had the experience that I've had, but I'll tell you, without revealing any information over the years, of specific information, I generally, as you know, try to stay out of the giving side of the equation. I do have my fingers in the whole overall financial picture and management of the finances and the aggregate amount after it's, Dwayne and the guys that count know about who gives what. But there's sometimes when people give me, money. They say, here, give this to the church. Well, I can't help but see what it is and how much it is and all of that, so I turn that over to Dwayne as soon as I have the opportunity. And sometimes people give out of their poverty. And maybe that gives me a little bit of a different view of finances than some of you might have. When somebody gives me $15, I say to myself, that's all they can give this month, maybe, and we have to use it wisely. So I don't want to just go blow money when I know that people are giving out of their penury to support the ministry of the church. Even the widow's mite counts in the giving of finances. And it demands our stewardship be, a financial stewardship be very good. You can also give of your time. Boy, that's a limited resource, isn't it? Today, months for me pass by like weeks. It's already the end of January 2018. We just began January a few days ago, it seems. But here we are. You can serve the church in various ways. Every believer can do this. You can clean bathrooms, sweep the floors, deliver meals, make encouraging phone calls, write letters, make visits, give rides. Those don't require any special giftedness at all. Those are just basic ministries that we should all be involved in. We all should worship and pray and fellowship and evangelize together, receive instruction from the Word. We can attend meetings faithfully. That's an issue. We need to do that. Just an encouragement to you all. We need to love each other as well. These are basic expectations of every Christian. By the way, if you can't love each other if you're not with each other. Don't pretend. It doesn't work. I think sometimes we play at church a little bit, and we shouldn't do that. It's not pleasing to God. So these are baseline expectations. The New Testament also explains that believers are given special gifts to serve the cause of Christ, and there are a couple categories of those. So there are some ministries that virtually every believer can do. Then there are other ministries that only some believers are able to do. Now, don't take this in some kind of way that's like discriminatory or anything. But God has given some people the gift to be pastors or leaders or teachers or administrators or deacons that He hasn't given to other people. It's not my business to question that. It's just a reality. It says in Ephesians chapter 4 that He's given some as apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. So He hasn't given all. He's given some. Some believers are also specially equipped by God to have strong faith, wise discernment, pointed exhortation, the showing of mercy, liberal giving, and the ability to help others. These abilities come from God, and not all believers have these gifts. But if you have them, my friends, oh my, you must use them. You must use them. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 10 and 11 say, "Let each one minister the manifold grace of God. As you've received the gift, so minister the same to one another, whether it's teaching, exhortation, exhorting, and all that, all those gifts." You can look that up, 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. So we have some ministries can be done by virtually every believer. Some ministries can be done by some believers. But there is also a third group, and that is there is something in some gifted ministry that every believer can do. So there's every believer can be involved in the baseline activities of just being a Christian. And then there are some Christians who are pastors and leaders and givers and helpers and all of that. And then there is everybody else who has some gift, some ability to be able to serve. So even though some tasks are entrusted to some believers, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. 1 Corinthians 12 says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of the body. That means that each and every person is able to participate and called to participate somehow. In addition, the Bible exhorts that those who have been given a gift must use it, as that passage says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The general pattern by which this works out is given in Ephesians chapter 4. So you might notice I'm giving you a theology of spiritual gifting tonight and laying out what we can do as a church in general terms. God gave apostles, prophets, which have passed off the scene, evangelists and pastors and teachers, to equip the saints so that the saints could do the work of the ministry, with the result being the edification of the body. That's Ephesians 4, 10 and 11. Or 11 and 12, rather, in a nutshell. Let me say it again. Pastors and teachers, evangelists, these gifted individuals have been given to the church in order to equip the saints. Not so that the first gifted individuals, the pastors, can do all the work, but so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. And the result will be the edifying of the body of Christ. Let's just think about that in a practical sense. Anything that I do is bottlenecked by me. I'm only one person. But if I can make a call every day of the week, you all can make 20 calls every day of the week. And it's easy, you know. The multiplicative effect can result in the edification of the body of Christ in a way that cannot work if it's all bottlenecked in just a few people. It's got to be multiplied. There has to be an exponentiation kind of factor. So certain people are given to equip. Those people then are to do the work of the ministry with the result of the edification of the body of Christ. That's the program that God has for the church. Now we can focus in, and I'd like to sometime, on what is the work of ministry. Can't do that tonight. We don't have time. The work of ministry. And I also thought this, if you feel the need for training for a ministry that you feel burdened to do, then ask. Help us out in that regard, if you would, please. You feel free and feel obligated, actually, to ask. We can do that. So, three categories I've given tonight. You all are in category one. Some of us are in category two. And you all are in category three also. Okay? So, the call tonight for us is to remember that membership has its responsibilities. A word to the wise is sufficient. Amen. Heavenly Father, we bow before you and thank you for this little message from the Word. And I pray that you help us as a church family to take it seriously. And Lord, for us who are laboring, encourage us to keep on and not grow weary in well-doing. And for those that are not, I pray that you would poke us to come along and bring along a ministry that we can participate in to help the church grow. And may none complain about the ministry of the church unless at least they're involved and actively trying to help it to grow. Thank you, Lord. And we pray now for your blessing. Help as we look at these reports and the general meeting. In Jesus' name, amen.